Who's your Jesus? Does he live in your heart? Does he live in the heavens? Is he your best friend and confidant? Is he your Lord and leader? Is he a hard-nosed judge? Is he an easygoing mentor? Who's your Jesus? And it's odd, actually, how rarely the Jesus of popular sentiment actually makes an appearance in the gospel accounts. Now, certainly there are tender moments. Jesus touches the leper, makes time for the children, and heals a mother-in-law. And he can say such sweet words, "Neither do I condemn you. I am willing, be cleaned," and "Talitha cum." But even in the midst of the gentle and the touching times, and certainly all around them, it becomes evident that Jesus simply cannot be defined as a bleeding heart, love, 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 push over, soft and sweet Jesus. No, Jesus is hard. He's hard to understand, hard to anticipate. He's hard to impress and hard to follow. And when he talks, his words are so often hard as nails. They pierce and tear and pin a person down. This is all painfully the case when Jesus leads his group of disciples out of Israel into pagan territory for a little time of rigorous and exacting discipleship training. It all starts innocently and safely enough. With a casual sense of detachment worthy of the academy, the disciples are enjoying a freewheeling discussion with Jesus about Jesus, at least about what other people thought about Jesus. And of course, the disciples should have known better than to feel safe in any conversation with this rabbi. He had a way of turning simple, ordinary moments and events into sudden crises of intense, individual, and eternal import. True to form, Jesus kills the comfortable discussion about public opinion and inserts the razor-edge question of personal confession. "And you, what about you? Who do you say that I am?" In other words, who's your Jesus? One thing is very clear. This is no easy Jesus. This time, Peter saves the day for the disciples, and he says what they may all have been thinking. "You are the Christ." Right. Peter, and presumably the rest of the 11 with him, have it right. Peter is a good pupil, a prodigy. He's got the right Jesus. His Jesus is the Christ. But the discipleship training is not done, not even close. And the next hard lesson comes all too soon. Peter can call Jesus the Christ, but it is obvious that he has no idea what that actually means. His confession is incomplete. Indeed, his confession is wrong. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, but he is not the sort of Christ the disciples expect, or for that matter, the sort of Christ they desire. The more that Jesus tells them what it means that he is the Christ, the less they want to do with it. And again, Peter intervenes for the sake of the group. He rebukes Jesus. He rebukes the teacher. And why not? He's the star pupil, the prodigy. Bitten by pride, Peter falls hard. He doesn't get it. He's got the wrong Jesus after all. So where do you fit in this story? Peter the prodigy or Peter the proud? But that question, of course, isn't quite fair. In fact, you don't have to take the self-congratulating route and insist, "I'm no Peter." But neither do you need to take the self-deprecating route and insist, "I'm no Peter." In either case, though, you would be right. Whether for good or for ill, you're no Peter. No, you're you. But you are not left out of this story. No, Jesus has specific words just for you. In fact, he has saved some very hard words just for you. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The anyone, of course, is not generic or imaginary. It's you. You're the anyone. You're the one who wants to follow Jesus. That's why you're here. I know it wasn't your idea. It never is. Jesus is always the one who does the choosing and who does the deciding. But once he's called you and once he's claimed you, what are you supposed to do? You have no choice. You have to come. You have to follow. And his words nail you. They nail you down. They nail you to a cross. Bonhoeffer was exactly right. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. This is no easy Jesus. Who's your Jesus? The one who calls you to the cross and has the nails ready? Is he the Jesus who rattles your plans and shatters your equilibrium? Is he the Jesus who upends the things that make sense and redefines what's fair? Who's your Jesus? It's not just the heathen and the heterodox who get the wrong Jesus. Every human is prone to prove Feuerbach on the right track and make Jesus in his own image. Like Peter, you have the right formulations and the right declarations, but you balk at the implications. You say that Christ is Lord, but Jesus is obscured in your living when other lords assert themselves there. To be sure, you have heard the warning, and you are very concerned about not causing offense. You are so careful not to offend the professor who holds your grade in his hands. You are certain not to offend the employer who provides your paycheck. You tread carefully and watch every word and every action so as not to offend the people whose opinions matter to you, the peers you admire, the social media group that affirms you, the students who write down your every word, the mentor you emulate, the congregation you want to appreciate and applaud you, the brilliant scholar whose work dazzles you, the expert whose insight amazes you. You are so meticulous never to offend that right group of people in the church, that right group that is confessional enough or missional enough or loving enough or cynical and sarcastic enough or unconventional and daring enough, that right group who say and do the right things and whose disapproval would disable you. You are so cautious, so very careful not to earn the disdain of the world's witty, charming, influential, and wonderful people whose indifference would somehow diminish you. All of them, you are so careful, so very careful, never to offend. Even if that means cloaking or costuming Jesus just a bit, or tempering or obscuring or revising his hard and offensive words just a little. When you live like that, engrossed in your pursuit of the affirmation and approval of all of those lords, then who is your Jesus? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Lord, Lord Jesus, have mercy. And he does. Peter did far worse than rebuke his Lord. He renounced him. Ashamed of Jesus? Peter was. But Peter could not offend Jesus beyond Jesus' capacity to find and forgive. Neither can you. Now, please don't misunderstand. You must never dismiss as inconsequential the severity and the seriousness of the temptations of pride, pretension, and vainglory that drive you to the wrong Jesus. And you must never ever discount the hard-as-nails truth of Jesus' promise and power always to forgive even the most egregious and shameless sinner who turns to him in repentance. He has the nail marks to prove it. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.